Uncle Doug brought this song to me, and he said, I don't know if you can learn it or just want to play a video. And when I listened to the song, I thought to myself, that song is worthy to be sung. It is so beautiful and so powerful. I don't know that we'll have the words on the screen, but we're just going to worship. Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan and comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. We sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who? The heart of a sinner showers his grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings the song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the keys to hell and the grave? Has the power to save, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit that's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who? Living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. We sing praise to the Father who gave us his Son, praise to the Spirit that's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who
How's everyone tonight? Did y'all get enough to eat? Okay, good. I like to see people eat. I like to see them enjoy it and have a good time. When I was asked to do my testimony tonight, I thought about that thing for a while, for a long while. And I wanted to put a title to my testimony tonight, if that's all right. A title, and it was Jesus Does. That's the title for this tonight, Jesus Does. And I think they was going to put this on YouTube. I hope so. And if everybody listening to it out there, I hope it helps someone change their life to make it better. God is a good God. I'll tell you, I'm fixing to tell you where I was and where I am now and how I got there. First off, I want to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us and you've placed us in it. You've given us life. I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you made my tongue as a ready writer, ready to speak your word that you give me tonight. Lord, even though I got notes for tonight, Lord, I depend on you for what you want me to say. So anything that you want, Lord, just prick my heart to it, and it'll be said. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all, when I start giving my testimony, sometimes I get a little emotional, even with this song. I heard this song the first time about 2 weeks ago, and it moved me to tears the first time I heard it. And it still does every time I hear it, just about it. But it's a good song because it describes who my Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born here in Grady County. I was raised here. I moved away for a little while. Lived up in Mitchell County some. Lived up in Albany a while. But my dad was a farmer. And, you know, farmers, we work land. That's what we do. We plant and we see what God does after we plant. The rest of it's up to him. I can't make a seed come up. But he does. He gives it life. He gives everything that it needs, I can supply, but he causes that germination. He made it that way. I did. So anyway, the first time that I remember that the Holy Spirit was drawing me in any way was, I think I was about 15 years old maybe, and we had just planted peanuts. And I was out there, I think it was on a Sunday morning, because I didn't know anything about church much. I'd drop into Pine Level once in a while, but that's about it. Or maybe Bowl Springs. But I was out looking at the peanuts, see if they were coming up, see how they were doing. And I like farming. I like to grow stuff. I do. And just suddenly, the Holy Spirit started drawing me. I know that now, but I didn't know that at the time, and I was just confused, and I didn't know what was going on. So nobody had ever told me about the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever told me about anything about being a Christian. What little bit I heard in church, when I was little, we didn't pay too much attention to anyway, because back then we sat in church. The kids didn't go off in the back or anything. We sat in church. But anyway, time went on. I graduated high school here in Grady County, and I went on from there. I got drafted in 1967. Went in the military. Did my basic training in Fort Benning, Georgia. I did my AIT in Fort Eustis, Virginia. I was a helicopter mechanic. So, before I even got out of Fort Eustis, I got orders for Vietnam. Well, nobody wants to go to Vietnam. Nobody wanted to go. But anyway, I had to go anyway. So, the last week I was at Fort Eustis, I had some problems with a blood disorder. I had to spend a week or two in the hospital, and I got out and had a couple of days at home, come home, had to flew back to Fort Dix, New Jersey, and from there, straight to Vietnam. So I get over there, and I didn't know what to expect. In wartime, I really didn't know. The training I had was for a mechanic. It wasn't for infantry or shooting at anybody or getting shot. So I get over there, and the first thing, we landed at a Binh Wah Air Force Base in South Vietnam. And when I stepped off the plane, the smell of that place was so bad. Wayne knows. Anybody else has been there knows. And I could hear artillery and stuff going off, machine gun fire all around you. So I'm thinking to myself, what have I got myself into here? See, I went there for a few days, and they shipped me up to Chu Lai, Vietnam. And I was in the 198th Assault Support Helicopter Unit. I was on the flight line probably about 3-4 months, maybe a little longer. And we had plenty of mechanics there. But they needed people to do other things within the company, and they were asking for volunteers. So me, I'm trying to help out all I can. I volunteer. So they stuck me over in communications. Okay. Didn't know anything about it, but that's where they stuck me. So I said, well, I'll learn. So I did. And it wasn't long after that, our section sergeant over the communications department, they shipped him out somewhere. I don't know where he went. And that left me as the next one, and I was a private E3 to be in charge of the place. And I really didn't know what was going on, but I didn't know that much about it. So anyway, I got promoted to E4. And anyway, in 1968, we took turns doing the switchboard. We had a switchboard that wasn't like they are now. But we had a switchboard. Somebody called, you got to plug them in and ring them and get them. So, you know, I was on the switchboard that night, and my primary job was keeping a line open to operations and to the company commander. So I'm sitting there one night. I had night shift. We had sandbags up about this high around the switchboard. And I'm sitting there, and I had written some letters. We had been playing cards. Even the company commander had come down. He was a good guy. He'd come down, he'd playing cards with us. And I used to cut his hair. And 3:45 in the morning, I won't ever forget it. The Lord was holding my hand at 3:45 that morning, and I couldn't even tell you what day of the week it was. 3:45 in the morning, the first rocket came in. We had a row of latrines about far under that door from where I was at on the switchboard, and the sleeping quarters right behind it. So it's all in one, wasn't really a building. It was a makeshift building at the time. That first rocket come on, it was a direct hit on those latrines down there. And they were shrapnel going everywhere. And then rockets started coming in. They call them 122s. That means they're about 5 inches diameter on them. They were coming in from everywhere. I'm talking about, you could hear them coming. You could hear the engines on those things coming. I mean, just from everywhere. I had never heard a rocket in my life until that night. And anyway, at 5:45, that's 2 hours later, the sky lit up. And I turned around to look to see what's going on. I hadn't heard anything yet. I mean, this is just a split second of time. I hadn't heard it, but I saw a mushroom cloud coming up behind me. And I thought to myself, good Lord, they done dropped the big one on us. I mean, I thought they had dropped nuclear on us because of that mushroom cloud. But I didn't know it at the time, but just about the time I thought that, the blast hit me, and there was some sand dunes over, and the bomb dump was right behind the sand dunes, the ammo dump right down by it. Well, they had hit the ammo dump, and that was it blowing up. Anyway, the blast hit me, and I didn't have a shirt on, and it blistered one side where the sand hit. Knocked me through the barracks, out the backside, the beach to the South China Sea was just right down, maybe 50 yards away. And I had written some letters. They was on top of the switchboard, but they were gone. I found them way down the beach the next morning. But anyway, that's the first time that God saved my life. But he saved my life that night. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody wasn't so blessed. Then the next time, and I did, I think I thought about the Lord for a long time after that. The next time was me and a friend of mine, Marty Jones. I named my son after him. He was a good friend of mine. He's passed on now also. But me and him had stepped out the back door to, we called it the hooch. And we didn't have running water. We had a water tank out there. You get a cup and your toothbrush and a water tank and brush your teeth standing out in the sand. So we had come out and was brushing our teeth, and I hear a rocket coming. No, I didn't hear that one, but there were some coming in, but I didn't hear that one. But all of a sudden, one come, and it hit maybe from here to that post away from me and Marty. Stuck up in the sand and didn't explode. Thank you, Lord, because I'd have been coming home in a body bag if that thing hadn't went off. So anyway, that was the second time. Then as time went on, I started hanging around some of the people I shouldn't be hanging around with. Young folks, that matter in the back, pay attention to who you hang around with. Choose your friends wisely. And then when I got out of the military, I stayed in Vietnam for 26 months. And I got out of the military. I came home. Didn't have a good welcome from citizens in the United States on my homecoming. They were not happy with us. There was a move going on then that people just, mostly young people, they hated us. I never understood it. They hated us. For what reason? I mean, I've done nothing for you to hate me for. So anyway, got over that. I came home. I got married to my first wife. Her name was Minnie Lee. Got married to her. Matter of fact, the month after we had been engaged for about 2 years. We got married. Marty was born. And we were like two roosters in the same pen. We fought like cats and dogs. She would have made a good boxer. And anyway, we were living in Putney. That's just the side of Albany, if anybody knows where Putney is. And it's right across the street from Merck Chemical. That's where we were living. And I worked down at Cross Equipment Company in Radium Springs. And anyway, I've been there a little while. And she worked in Camilla at Wheel Green Manufacturing in Camilla. So I started going to school over at Albany Tech as a diesel mechanic. And some days when I crossed the bridge going over to the school, I would meet her on the bridge going to get Marty. But I didn't every day, so the day of her death, I didn't see her on the bridge, but didn't think anything of it either. So I went on to school. I got out of school. I come home. I pull up in her driveway. And my back door was standing wide open. And I thought, that's funny for the door to be standing up this day. It's 10 o'clock at night. So I walked in the house, and I found my wife laying in the floor, passed away. She had been cut to death, murdered. Well, I went over next door. The landlord lived next door. I went over to his house to ask him to call the police. He did come out. They questioned me for seemed like a month. And then let me go and went home. So anyway, 2 weeks later, finally got it done. But for a year, every time I closed my eyes, that's all I could see. I mean, that is all I could see. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't do anything right. I mean, it was a tough time in my life. And so anyway, I had Marty, and I was raising Marty. And I had started to work at Tarrington here in K-Roads. Coyo now, it used to be called Tarrington. So yeah, I go to work, and I got a good job out there. They pay good. Diesel mechanics wasn't paying near as good as Tarrington was, so I forgot about diesel mechanics. But I had enrolled in Thomas Tech in Thomasville as autumn. They didn't have a diesel class, but I had an auto and diesel class, so I started going to it. But anyway, during the meantime, I started working at Tarrington. Wasn't too long after that, I met Wanda. Met her on a blind date. I knew her brother-in-law. He worked in Heatree out there. And I don't know if he got me to date. I don't remember now. But I knew her sister, Tammy, but I didn't know Wanda. And I thought it was Tammy I was meeting instead of her. So anyway, we met. It wasn't any time before we decided we'd get married. Best decision I've ever made in my life, other than getting saved. But Wanda is a good wife. She has been a blessing to me. And she had one child already, Brandy. Her and Marty was within 6 months of each other. And ended up adopting Brandy. And she's been a good daughter. She has been. I'm proud of her. Then we had Kylie. And Kylie was, she used to be a daddy's baby. When she was a baby, she liked me to rock her. She didn't like to go to sleep. And she kind of required to be rocked a lot. And which was okay. That was fine. And so still I'm hanging around with the wrong people. And I got talked into trying drugs with these people. Biggest mistake ever made in my life was that. It took me close to 15 years to come out of that. I was a crackhead. And it controls you every aspect of your life. Kids back there, think about what I'm telling you. If you ever think you can do some drugs and get away with it, no, don't go that route. Adults too, don't go that route. It cost me 15 years of my life. It cost me a year in jail. I got arrested in 89. Yeah. And, yeah, it was 89. I was out here at the old Grady County Jail, what they used to call the Grady County Hilton. I was in that cell down there they called the bullpen. You remember that? They called it the bullpen. I was in, they called it the bullpen for a reason. They had all the hard-headed ones in there. So I was in there with them. So I was just as hard-headed as any of them. But there was a man named Winston Crump. He was a black man, I'll tell you that. Don't matter who you are, God can use you. Mr. Crump was a good fellow. He was a good man. And he used to come in my cell every Saturday and preach. He'd come in, I had a little cot here. He'd come in and he'd sit down on the side of my cot. And he always looked at me and he always preached to me and nobody else wasn't listening to him anyway. And he always came in there, he sat down. Every Saturday he came in there and sat down and he preached to me. And I listened because I was looking for a way out. I needed, the drug addiction was horrible. It was. When every waking moment you have, That's what you're thinking about. How are you going to get the next hit? Never even considering what it's doing to your life or to your family's life. Because the drugs, the devil has you. He's got you in a stranglehold. And he won't turn loose. And you're looking for a way out of that. But anyway, Mr. Crump was a good preacher. He was a Sabbath day missionary. He would come in and preach to me. I got saved through his ministry. And there was one night, I was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket in front of the door of the cell, and I had been studying the Word, and I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me, the first time He's ever really spoke to me in an audible voice where I could hear Him and understand Him. And He asked me a question. I mean, I've been praying. I've been asking for this for I don't know how long. He asked me, He said, "Son, what can I do for you?" And I told Him. He said, "Well, there's some things that you're going to have to do." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "You're going to have to get out of my way so I can." And I was asking for my family back. That's what I was asking for. Because at the time, would nobody speak to me at all, hardly. So anyway, I did. I got out of the way. And I had written Wanda a letter that she didn't need to read. It would have turned the devil's face red. And the Lord said He'd handle it if I get out of the way. So I did. 2 weeks later, Wanda came back to me. 2 weeks later, I'm in jail. I couldn't do anything. So it wasn't nothing I'd done. I got out of the way. And I had written that letter. And that letter came back to me unopened, postmarked. Tell me God don't work miracles. He does. I got the letter back, postmarked, unopened. Wanda never seen it. So anyway, as time went on, I was still a drug addict. I got out of jail, still a drug addict. Went off to rehab, still a drug addict. Didn't know what to do. I was saved. Did not know what to do. I was looking for salvation. And really didn't know how. I didn't know anything about praying and believing and believing what you say. Listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I didn't know any of that. All I knew was I was a drug addict and I wanted to get off of it. And I'd do whatever I had to do it. At the time, Pastor Bruce was our pastor here at the church. Pastor Bruce was a good friend of mine for a long time. I spent a lot of time at his house talking with him and praying with him. God uses friends to pray for you, and He listens to them. Carol and Carrie, Jeff and Cheryl Rayburg, Terry and Pearl Murphy, they did a lot of praying for me and my family. And God used them in those prayers. And they prayed, they didn't give up. I didn't give up. And they didn't give up. And I was going to make this work some way or another. I was going to do it. Well, turns out I couldn't do it. There was no way I could. It was out of my hands. I could not do anything. It was like my hands was handcuffed to being a drug addict, and I couldn't get away from it. It was that bad. So anyway, even after I sobered up, I was still a drug addict. Clean. But mentally, I was still a drug addict. Didn't know what to do. I mean, it was just people praying for me left and right, but I was so confused, I didn't. It was terrible. It was bad. So one day we had a lady from South Africa. I don't remember her name. Carol, you remember her? Spoke at her church. Who? That was her. Well, she was preaching. She stopped right in the middle of her sermon. I was sitting over there right in front of the kitchen. I remember just like it was yesterday. Nobody else might not even caught this. I don't know. But she was preaching. She come around to me, put her hand on my head, and she said, God said to tell you that he was there the whole, your head was above the cloud the whole time. That was the exact words. And that quick, drug addiction is gone. Just that quick. God did that for me. If he can do that for me, he can do anything. Anything. You name it, he can do it. So, down through the years, I've learned some valuable lessons. One thing is I've learned to listen, and I've learned to do what I read out of the Word. Psalms 91 says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 14 changes over a little bit. Now, if you do these things, this is what God said he would do. He said, because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's my God. Jesus does. He backs that word up. He does. Over in Revelation 12, verse 11, says, and they overcame. And he's talking about us, those that are devils trying to bind you up and kick you around and whatever. Said, but they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So that's why I'm standing here today. I'm giving my testimony. That's how you overcome. I've given it before in jails around the area. And every time I do, I'm blessed. I have been a blessed man. I learned a long time ago to tithe. That's one of the things I learned to do is to tithe. When I tithe, God blesses me in that tithe. Things have turned around financially since we started tithing. Excuse me. We went from not having anywhere to live because of my stupidity to having, I've got 10 acres of land. My house is paid for. My land is paid for. Financially, I'm okay. I'm not hurting in any way. God has done that in what, baby? 25 years? Somewhere around that. And he's given me a lot of knowledge I didn't have before. At building things around the house, keeping stuff going. I don't normally hire anyone to do anything. I do it myself. We just tore our front load washing machine to a million pieces a couple of months ago. Fixed to put it back together. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's not. But we do all our own repair work. We do most of our plumbing or all the electrical. We do all that now. And we've been blessed by it. I like I still like to do things with my hands. I like to grow stuff. I like to fix stuff most of the time. Older age now, I'm 76, fixed to turn 77. I'm not as quick to jump out there in the real hot weather like it is now and work all day, every day in the heat. But I still do. God has been good to us. And he has blessed us in so many ways. Right now, me and Wanda get along good. I don't even know the last time we had an argument. I can't even remember the last time we had an argument. But God has been good. He has. Jesus does. You can plug anything in there you want to. Jesus does. Anything good, that is. You know, the devil can use your own mind against you. He does. He has a stronghold. If you miss Edie, Southmore, define a stronghold as a house of thoughts that Satan builds for future occupation. Pretty good definition of it. But let me tell you now, Jesus can break those strongholds. He can clear them out. It's just like pushing the button, the delete button. That's how he does it. He pushes that delete button and it's gone. He takes care of those things. And all you have to do is make yourself available. And I would have never... 30 years ago, I couldn't see myself standing up here giving my testimony. I couldn't see myself where I'm at in life right now. Saved, blessed, powerful in the Word of God. It's been amazing. All that time that I was looking for a Savior, all that time I was looking for a Savior. Let me tell you what I found. I found more than a Savior. I found a Lord. A Lord, a King. That's what I found. For years I was looking for a Savior. That's all I was looking for. But during the process of looking for that Savior, I found a King. And amen. He is a good King. He knows how to rule. He knows how to love. He knows how to bless. His name is Jesus. And he lives on the inside of me. This word right here, if you turn over to the book of John, I think it's in chapter 10. I think. Nope, wasn't 10. John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The same Word that's written on these pages. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you drop down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became the living Word. It took on a heartbeat, it took on flesh, it took on a mind, and his name was Jesus. And that same Jesus lives today. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us daily, because you have an accuser. If you go back over here to Revelations 12:11, whatever, just told you a while ago, show you what he's doing. 12:11. Go back up to verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So you have an accuser that stands before God, and he accuses you, all of us, because he knows there's not one person on the face of this earth that is without sin. There's not one. So he stands there and he accuses you. He brings that up before God. He said, but they done that, and they done that, and they done that. But you have a Savior that is standing there, and he's talking to the Lord, and he's saying, yeah, but he's saved by the blood. My blood covered that. I gave my blood, and it covered that. That's my Jesus. Jesus does. But I mean, looking for a Savior and found a Lord. Now, that's profound to me. I found a Lord. Jesus does. The song says a few things about what Jesus does. I got a page or two of them. So I'm going to take a few minutes here, and then we're going to close. Says, who knew your name, or who knows your name, at creation to the end of eternity? Before God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, did you know that Jesus knew your name? Even before he knew your name. So, who knows your name at creation? Jesus does. Who volunteered to be a sacrifice for anyone that would believe and come to him? Jesus does. Who takes stripes for your healing? Jesus does. Who sheds his blood on the cross for you? Jesus does. And by the way, right now there is close to 9 billion people on this planet. That's a lot of people. And down through the years since Adam, you reckon how many people has been on this earth? And how many more will come? A lot of people. Did you know that his blood has enough volume and power to cover and clean every one of them, past, present, and future? Think about that. Think about if you wanted to give everybody in the world a bath and clean them up. How much water would that take? Well, Jesus gave his blood, and his blood washes you white as snow. You're clean. When God sees you, he sees you perfect. Flawless. As the song says, flawless. That's how he sees you. Because when he sees you, he sees Jesus in you. And he loves you. He loves all people. He does. That's why he stands with his arms open and saying, come. That's him. Who gives the power to that blood? Jesus does. He washes the world clean with it. When you dig yourself in or down in a pit, in a hole, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and watch the video of this song that Laurie sang earlier. This guy's done dug himself in a hole, and he's so deep, I mean, the hole's been covered up. He's even in a box, can't get out. When we dig ourselves in a hole, and I mean so deep that we can't even get out of the hole, Jesus comes. He makes steps for you to walk out of that hole. He does. Jesus does. He extends his arm down to you, catches your hand, pulls you out of that hole. When it seems like the whole world is crashing in on you like waves, he reaches out his hand and saves you. Jesus does. That's who does that. He stands with open arms. And he says, come to anyone who believes. Jesus does. Who gives power to change, like the psalm says. To change who I was. Jesus does. Nobody else. Nobody can do that but him. Nobody. Who gives you power to tread on serpents and scorpions? Luke 10, I think it's verse 10. Verse 9 says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what he said. Take joy in that. Who heals the blind? Jesus does. Who raises the dead? Jesus does. Just takes a word from his mouth. The faith. Who sits at the right hand of the Father defending you daily? Every day he sits at the right hand of the Father defending you, putting Satan in his place. I said, I gave my blood for that. I bought that. Jesus does. That's what he does. Who keeps you in the palm of his hand? What did he say about that? He said, no man can take them from the palm of my hand. No man can take them away from him. That's what Jesus does. Who gives you the power to become children of God? Jesus does. I can't do it. You can't do it. The president can't do it. Nobody can't do it. Jesus does. He gives me power to become a child of the living God. That is my God. Now turn things around just a little bit here. Who gives the credit for all this that Jesus does back to him? We do. That's right. We stand in praise to the Father, for the Son, and for the Spirit. We praise Jesus. We pray to God the Father through him. He gives us power to become sons of God. He keeps us well. I'm 76 years old. I think I'm in pretty good shape for 76. Every time I ask him to do something for me, he does it. He's never failed me one time. Not once. Not even one time has he ever failed me. His answer is always, I love you. Whatever you need, just believe. If you'll believe it. But he likes to hear it. And he'll do it. Jesus said, believe that whatsoever you saith shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. That's faith. But Jesus does. He took this life that I had in the drugs, the alcohol, the running wild, not doing what I should be doing, but doing everything that I shouldn't be doing. He gave me his life. He gave me his strength. He gave me his power. He gave me his love. He gave me everything I needed to get my life turned back around. And then, in a moment of time, he takes it away. Just that quick. Just that quick. I mean, just that quick. Goodness. Man, that's quick. It was really, just in a skinny minute, as they say. He did that. In Proverbs, if I can find that. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He didn't say, acknowledge him in all the good things that you do. He said, acknowledge him in all your ways, all of them. And he'll direct your path. He'll set one foot right in front of the other one and keep you on the path that he wants you to be on if you'll listen to him and do what he says to do. It's just that simple. Just listen and do what he says to do. Heard a Korean pastor one time, somebody asked him, how do you keep a church this size? He had over 100,000 members in his church. Wu, was that his name, I think? Cho. And he was asked that by a reporter, and he said, well, I pray, I listen, and I do. And that's what you do. That's how you do it. You pray, you listen, and you do what he says to do. When he told me that day, sitting down there in the bullpen at the Great County Hilton, he said, you have to get out of my way. Because everything that he wanted to do, he couldn't do because I was in the way interfering with it. Well, it's not my job to interfere with it, but to listen and to do. God is a good God. He loves you. I don't care if you're this big or 90 years old or 100 years old. It makes no difference. God loves you, and he empowers you. He's the one that heals you. He's the one that gives you the power. And I give all credit in my life to him because he deserves it. 2,000 years ago, he willingly went to the cross, took a beating that you wouldn't believe. I'm talking about to the point of death. And they nailed him to a tree. There's one guy over here on his right, and there's one over here on his left. One on his right hand was a robber and a thief. He wasn't baptized. He didn't walk down the aisle up into an altar and give his life to the Lord. He didn't do anything. He just said, Lord, remember me when you come into your own. Jesus, at the point of death, had to be excruciating pain and suffering. He says, before this day is over, you'll be with me in paradise. If that's love, that's not love. I don't know what is. Here's a man hanging on, nailed with big spikes through his wrist and his ankles, nailed to a tree. He's at the point of death, and he's got enough love in him to tell this man, you will be with me in paradise before this day is over. That's my God. That's my Jesus. Jesus does. He loves each and every one of you equally. He don't love Sally more than he loves Sharon. He don't love Doug more than he does Don or David or Carrie. He loves us equally. And the same plea goes to all. If you need him, his arms is open. He's ready. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you get up out of your seat and walk down here to the front, I have no idea who is saved and who's not. But if you have any doubt in your mind about it, and you're not saved, and you doubt your salvation, come down here. I want to pray with you. Jesus wants to touch you right now and change your life. Okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before your people and give a testimony of you. Lord, and as we think about the things that you do in our life for us, Lord, we give you praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for my wife and my family and my church family. Lord, I thank you for each one of them. The love that's shown forth in this church body, Lord, I thank you for that. And I just pray your blessings on this church, that it increases It's growing. This is a growing church. And I thank you for it, Lord. When your word is spoken in the earth, growth happens. It's like those peanuts that sprouts and comes up. Lord, it happens. You do it. You're the head of the church. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And pray for each other. Love each other. Call one another. Keep in touch. Okay? And I thank you for listening to my rambling. And that's all I have for it. Jesus is good. Amen.